Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello. Oh, as always, I'm just so pleased that we are going to have some time together because we are going to be talking about something that's very, very real. You. We're going to be talking about your life, but we're also going to be talking about how you do not have to be a victim. Now, those of you listening may say, okay, Donna, where are we going with this? Well, we're going to be joining a woman, Karina Kilcoyne, and her name is a very unique one. She's written a book called Rise Above the Story. And this is an extraordinarily powerful book because it gives you tools that you can work with. If you're dealing with any issues, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that challenge you, that eat away at you, we're going to help you. Or I should say, Karina is going to help you get past the limitations that so often we accept that are put upon us by other people and know what freedom really is. Karina, welcome to the show. And would you please help me with your last name? It's very unique. Is it Kilcoyne, or how do we pronounce it?
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me. It's Karina Kilcoyne.
Kilcoyne. All right. That's good. I wasn't too far off base, but I thought I'd better get that clarity with you. You have done an amazing job with this book, Rise Above the Story. Your background is fascinating. You're Ukrainian. You have been and are involved in the legal world. You've accomplished so much in your life. You decided to write this book. Now, you have revealed so much about your life in this book, but there had to be something that motivated you to put pen to paper. What was it?
Well, thank you, first of all, for the compliment. I mean, coming from you and all the accomplishments you have made in your life, it means a lot to me that you took the time to read the book, and so I appreciate that. To answer your question, I would say that it really, first of all, I've always wanted to be a writer. Always, 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 since I can remember. But my mother died when she was very young, 44, and I was 24, and after she died, I adopted my 9-year-old brother, and I decided to go to law school instead of following my dream to be a writer so that I would have a way to support us. But this book, which became this wonderful passion project of mine that I have worked on for the last 8 years, my decision to finally sit down and do this after decades of wanting to write but not writing, I did it because I had suffered myself for decades with anxiety and depression, and I was suppressing my own trauma. And I went on a healing journey. And one of the first things I learned in my healing journey was that I wasn't alone. I really was so full of shame and was hiding a lot of my past. And when I learned through therapy and reading and understanding more about what I was experiencing, I wasn't alone in my pain. And it turns out when I did a little bit of research, that 70% of us will experience trauma in our lifetime. 70%. But I have to tell you, something tells me that the number's probably even higher, because there are people like I used to be that don't talk about their pain and their trauma. But where it got really interesting for me and why I wanted to write this book and tell everybody I could about this is when I learned about what my brain was doing in the presence of trauma, and how it was creating these limiting stories for me that were making me afraid and ashamed and wanting to live this small life, the life that felt like limited. But this life that was quote unquote safe was also keeping me from connecting with people and intimacy and real love and following my dreams. So I wrote this book because I wanted to open the door for people people who were like I was, like that were suffering and had this suppressed trauma and really wanted to live a different life. I wanted them to see, I wanted them to feel seen and heard. And I wanted to remind them that they're worthy of a good life. And so I put together this book, which really to me feels like a guidebook to healing.
When I started reading your book, there's many statements that you make in your book, but the one that resonated with me so strongly is a sentence, and it's right at the end of your introduction. It said, "You will find the magical soulmate who loves every part of you. You will find yourself." And to me, that is so powerful because in my work with many people and in my own life, learning to be at ease and enjoying the self, learning how to be content and rich with enthusiasm about life, whether you have a partner in your life or you're surrounded with all kinds of adoration, etc., or whether you're by yourself, you are rich and full and have a good opportunity to live life to its fullest. That is not something most people are taught. That is not something that most people feel they're entitled to, and most people are terrified at being alone. And that is in your introduction, along with a number of other very, very insightful comments. But I really found that that resonated so strongly, because that is something I observe very few people are capable of acknowledging. The fear of being alone, of being abandoned, is so strong that they lose themselves in that. And that was the kickoff for me when I was reading your book. I thought, ah, now we're going to be really getting into some real meat about the human personality, character, etc. And that proved to be true with your book.
Well, thank you. And I love that you pulled that part out, because that really is just that simple sentence in the introduction becomes the crux of the book. And it becomes really the crux of my healing journey, my own personal healing journey. And what I really teach in the book, the steps of how to get to what you're talking about. And what are you talking about? You're talking about authentic, unconditional self-love. And you're right. So many of us grew up, unfortunately, in situations where we are not taught how to develop that or how to sustain it. And so many of us go through from childhood to teen years to adult life with these inner wounds that are unhealed. And we seek other people, friends, sexual partners, romantic partners. We seek these people subconsciously for sure, and sometimes consciously, believing that these other people are going to fix us, right? That I did that myself. I got married the first time out of this fear of being alone and not understanding how to be alone. And because, oh, I like this person's family, right? They checked a few boxes. They seem like a nice person. But the truth of the matter is that nobody can fix or heal the wounds that you have. That is for you to do alone. And while it's great, yes, to have support, a great therapist, family, friends to help support you through the journey, the inner work it requires to heal and to find that authentic self-love is a very personal solo journey. And you mentioned, you talked about learning how to be alone and being comfortable in that. And that was something I really struggled with. And I know a lot of people do. And it's this fortitude and this resilience that you learn to have when you learn to tap into those deeper parts of yourself and love yourself for who you are and for everything you've been through, you can then really find this stability and this gratitude and this place in the world where you feel safe and secure all by yourself. And that's really challenging for most of us to get to that point. But what's beautiful about it is it's really personal power. You are so empowered because you rely on yourself to heal your own wounds and to make yourself happy. And the bonus of that is that then when you sign up and you choose a partner, it's because you want to be with that person, not out of some need to be with them because you don't want to be alone or because you believe that they might make you feel better. You've learned to empower yourself, number one, and number two, your relationships take on a whole different nature because now you are present as a whole person who is saying, I want and choose to be in this with you. And isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. That is very, very important. There are so many different points in your book that you bring out. And, of course, your stories are very, very significant in this because you're sharing your journey that you have gone through. Someone listening to you might say, oh, my goodness, you're so successful. But lots of times we don't take the time to really listen to someone else's story. And many times people will look at an individual and say, oh, I want to be like so-and-so. I want this. I want that. I want the other. But they're not really valuing their own contribution to what they have to offer in life and their own value as a human being. And because of that, we see a lot of distortion that might go on in their lives. And that is something that you bring out because a lot of what you did and what you experienced as a child, your trauma went through your childhood and also into adulthood. And it really took a lot of courage for you to say enough is enough. And this story about your dog, Finn, when I read about how he was a teacher for you, it's just wonderful. It really is wonderful because that is, and I'll use an old saying, the straw that broke the camel's back. That enabled mm-hmm. you to get through your own very thick glass ceiling, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a few, like I'm sure many people listening have done this. I had a few intros up to that point of my beautiful Finn getting so sick and dying where I dabbled in healing, like, oh, something happened. I had a bad breakup or this or this or this. My mom died. I should go to therapy. So I had these moments in my earlier life where I would say, oh, I want to go to therapy. I want to read some books. I want to practice yoga. And then I would get to a point where I thought, I feel good. I feel fine. Or maybe I had processed the bad breakup. I had processed, oh, my mother's no longer here. But I never, in those moments, in those bubbles of time, did I ever get down deep into the real wound, right? I never brought up all the suppressed trauma that I had in my childhood and my early adult life. And so when my dog, Finn, my beloved dog, he's a golden retriever, when he got unexpectedly sick, he was 7 years old, with cancer, it threw me. It completely threw me. I wasn't expecting it. And as I was taking care of him, I started to have all these memories of my mother and my mother being sick with cancer. And I had helped her when she was sick with cancer. And all these memories from my childhood started coming up. And interestingly enough, I looked at the calendar and I realized that it was about 20 years difference in time from when my mother died to when my dog Finn was so sick. And then he died shortly thereafter, like a month later after getting the diagnosis. And when he died, I was so attached to him. And I, of course, grieved as you would when you lose an animal that you're so close to and you love so much and so dearly. And, you know, Finn was to me my first real experience with unconditional love. I didn't have that growing up. I wasn't shown that. I wasn't offered that. I wasn't given it. So I didn't really understand what that felt like until I was blessed to have this beautiful dog in my life. So when he left, I had this massive grief would just roll through me. And I would cry and just all the memories and all this, all of these things. And then a week or so went by and I was still in this space. And it almost felt like I couldn't stop grieving. I couldn't stop crying. And I caught on that it wasn't just about sin anymore. It was almost as if the floodgates had opened and I was now able to unleash all of this old anger and sadness and regret and all of these things, disappointment, all of these emotions started flooding out of me. And that's when I realized it's time. I was in my 40s when that happened. And I was thinking, it is time. I can't go through one more day of holding all this in. This is not doing me any good. And in fact, it's doing me ill. Like I had all kinds of health issues. It was not good for me. And I set out on a course of healing. And I said, this is it. I'm tired of living this way. It's like that old saying, like where it becomes more painful not to do something than to do it. That's how I felt about healing. It was too much, too burdensome, too much of just angst on me to not do it, to hold it all in, to try to hold it all together, to try to have this perfect life and be all this for everybody. I couldn't do it anymore. And that's when I decided to get real about it and really go on a healing journey.
I find it most fascinating how each of us will go through our individual journeys, and yours encompassed so many different variables. Your father ended up going to prison. He was a felon. Your mother had mental illness brought on by God knows what, because you never found out really a whole bunch about her past. You found out about some. And being from the country, you know, the genetic environment that you came into, the Ukrainian environment. And when you think, and I mentioned this to you before we started our conversation on the show, that all of this comes together. And what your book, Rise Above the Story, is so significant about is that the story, once we acknowledge the story and once we can see the story, we don't have to carry it around like a badge of courage. We need to rise above it and release it, seeing it for what it is, but we've got to move forward. I say we've got to. A lot of people choose not to. But that's one of the many gifts that your book gives a reader. And you have different questions that you want the reader to ask themselves. And this, I think, is so important because so many people don't feel like they have anyone that they really can have that open communication with. And they don't realize they need that open communication with themselves. And that's one of the points that you try to bring forth so that the person isn't running away from the story, where it'll come up like a tsunami, like it did with you after Finn died, where it'll come up like a tsunami and just consume them. But yet sometimes we have to go through those tsunamis, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned in all of this is feeling your emotions and processing your emotions is so crucial to healing, to your mental health, to your physical health, to your spiritual health, processing the emotion and understanding that you are not the worst thing that happened to you, and you are not your emotions. Your emotions are meant to be felt. They're part of the human experience, right? That's why we're here, is to engage with life and to feel joy and to feel happiness and to feel all these things. We deserve all those things. But part and parcel of being a human being is to also feel the other things, which are pain and anger and resentment and remorse. And so understanding that you are not the worst thing that happened to you, and you are not the emotions that you feel because of what happened, and how to process them and unearth them and acknowledge them. And you use the key words there. It's like acknowledging what you're feeling and what happened, and then processing in a way that allows you to release it. And then, of course, rising above it. And in the book, I go through those exact three steps. That's the whole formula. And I explain the different things that those steps require. But the basis of all of this is this concept of self-awareness. So like you said, like understanding what it was, not that we're saying, oh, let's carry it around and wear it like a badge of courage for the rest of our lives. No, but there is a certain amount of it that this acknowledging and this recognition is warranted and is needed in order to process it finally and let it go. Because if you keep holding on to it and denial and pushing it down or compartmentalizing it where you can put that in a box and then you go over here and you try to be something else, that never meshes. You're never going to have an authentic life if you do that. So processing and acknowledging what you've been through and how it made you feel is the first and most important step in this healing journey. And like you said, I do at the end of every chapter offer up journal prompts, because what I want to do is I want to share my story, because I want people to feel comfortable knowing that it's okay to acknowledge and talk about what happened to you. And then I share knowledge about things I've done that worked, books I've read, excerpts from, you know, all the gurus, right? Gabor Mate and Bessel van der Kolk, and I distill brain science. And then I ask people at the end to just do these, of every chapter, to do these journal prompts, because I want the journal prompts to get people into the space of self-awareness and acknowledging their feelings.
I think that that is so very important, because when you replay the story over and over again of being a victim and not acknowledging the power that you have within yourself to say, that was then, that doesn't have to be now, I can make choices. I think that that for me was a very difficult thing to do, because I had been indoctrinated, as many people are, you don't have choice. We will have people in our lives that will say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid. You have no idea that you're just never going to make it in life. I mean, there's so many different persons that we can come in contact with on the job, in our families, maybe our lovers, our mates, whatever's going on. And it can happen at any age. And they will not really want you to advance, because they don't have the courage to advance themselves. And I remember when I had that experience in my 20s, that I just thought, why is this person trying to hold me down? And I use me as an example, because I think we have to be honest. If we're wise, we're good observers, and we look at where it is that we really want to see ourselves and what kind of person we really want to be. And you have a statement, when a story takes over your life, you're unable to make decisions that serve you. Freedom of choice is thrown out the window. And that is the one thing that we always need to remember, is that there is a choice. There is a choice in every single situation. There is that choice where we can make a determination of being a victim or not being a victim, of being that person ourselves that can make the statement about, we are valued, we have something to offer, and then we find that we have a power inside of us. And so many times people think power means dominion over others. It's not that. It's the dominion over ourselves that gives us the strength and power. Respond to that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I will tell you, too, that this whole concept of, you're saying earlier about, you know, somebody belittling us, right? Being in a relationship where somebody belittles us. And that's also a situation that I write about in my book. And I share a story of me being in a relationship where I cannot say that the person was a narcissist, but I would say that they definitely had narcissistic tendencies, is what I can say in all fairness. And at the end of that relationship, I had to really think about, why was I signing up for that relationship? What was it about me and my story? And what was it that wanted, that was attracting somebody like this to me? And what was I going to do about it? Because I didn't want to keep signing up for somebody who would gaslight me or blow up or tell me this about myself or be negative to me or be mean and cruel. Like I didn't want that. And of course, that's never how, well, it's not how that relationship started. But still, I had to ask myself, what was it? What was it? What was I seeking? What was going on there? And so just for clarity, this too, when I say story, rise above the story, story is the term that I give to that subconscious interpretation of your trauma. So it is what your brain writes, the story about you to keep you safe, right? And so it doesn't want you to get hurt. So it creates a story that loops in your head. And it sounds much like what you were saying earlier. Oh, who are you to do that? Why would you do that? You're so stupid, blah, 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 blah. Like, so you can have external people say that to you, and it can become the story in your head. But really what I want people to understand is that negative loop, that chatter in your brain can change. It can stop. And that is one way of several ways I share in the book of how you get your own personal power. So to your point about, oh, it's not dominion over other people. I am not saying, you know, I'm talking about, oh yeah, now you're so powerful, you can bully other people or you can do this. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how to be empowered in your own body, how to feel emotionally free, how to feel love for yourself, how to feel joy and get back to something that feels resonant and whole. When bad things happen, you can create that safe space of home within yourself. And to me, that is power. And how that relates to victimhood is that so often it is that there is a situation that happens, and along the storyline of what we were just talking about, your brain will somehow come up with something that makes you feel that you were to blame for what happened, or you participated in it somehow, or you could have done something different. And how many times do we replay an incident and think, well, if I wouldn't have walked that way, or if I wouldn't have said this, maybe it wouldn't have happened, or maybe if I didn't, blah, blah, blah. And we constantly analyze ourselves. And when we do that, when we run those negative storylines and the what ifs, we put ourselves in the victim seat. And as a former criminal defense attorney, I'm going to say that in time and space, yes, there is definitely moments where people are victims and people are perpetrators. Absolutely. But whether or not you choose to continue to see yourself as a victim is your choice. You don't have to. You can refuse the label. And why would you want to do that? Because you want to go through life as your own victor. You want to go through life as somebody who's empowered and loves themselves and isn't going to give their power to someone else. And that's what happens when you choose to continue to wear the victim label. And that's one of the big things that I had to give up, because I carried around this victimhood about being the daughter of a felon. I was 12 when my dad was 11 when he started to get into his issues with the law. And that's a young age to deal with something like that. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to process it. And I didn't have a mother who had the fortitude or the wherewithal to help me process it. So I carried that shame around with me, and I victimized myself over it for a long time, for decades. And it took me a long time to get over it. And that's one of the things I share in there, is how I did it. Why I'm so just so excited to share with people how to do that, because I think knowing how to step out of that victim role and label and empower yourself is one of the best things you could do for a happier life.
I concur. And you give a number of points of information in your book about some of the tools that you used, like your emotional tapping and compassion letters, an emotional journal. You give so many good tips in your book because you used a number of different modalities. And another aspect that I really appreciated is that you came to the point where you realized when you were going through the releasing of these stories that you had carried for so long and releasing the attachment to these stories. Telling the stories is not a big deal. It's the attachment, the emotional attachment that we're not willing to release. It's like, again, like a badge of honor. I've gone through this and, oh, poor me. I'm always going to be XYZ for the rest of my life, which is wrong. I mean, I say it's wrong because it creates a prison in your life mm-hmm. that you don't need to stay there. You've got the key to unlock that jail cell door and stand free. Stand and be the person that you are in complete harmony and have a life that's rich and full. But you say also, these experiences that you went through, you say, the universe offered me the chance to rise on multiple levels. Now, that is a very powerful statement, because that means you then can use what was confining you, and instead you use it to liberate you. And that's what you want to do for others. You want to let them know, whoever reads your book, Rise Above the Story, that they can liberate themselves from their own personal jail cells that they have confined themselves within. They don't have to look through the bars of fear. They can look, get rid, evaporate those bars of fear, and stand true in who they really are as a human being, male or female. It doesn't make any difference. They can be free. And once you're free like that, you don't go back. You say, it's not worth it. That's not what I choose to be. That's not who I am. And that is one of the accomplishments that you achieved yourself, Karina Kilgoy. And I want to say that it's been just a wonderful, wonderful privilege to have you as a guest. And I'd recommend your book to anyone. RiseAboveTheStory.com is your website, and people will find out about you and what you've gone through. And this is something that I think the book is actually, it's something that a therapist could recommend to a client. It is something a teacher might be able to see how she can work better with her students, regardless of their age. But I think more importantly, the individual that wants to really understand and set themselves free, they can do it. And I think your book, again, Rise Above the Story, is a fabulous, fabulous read. Karina, I wish you nothing but the best of success, and I want to thank you again for being my guest.
Thank you so much, Donna. I feel like we could just talk and talk and talk, but I appreciate the time. And I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you.
It has been a delight. We are saying goodbye to Karina Kilgoy, and I want you to know how her last name is spelled. It's K-I-L-C-O-Y-N-E, and Karina is spelled K-A-R-E-N-A, and all you have to do is type Rise Above the Story, and you will be able, .com, you will be able to find out more about this fabulous, fabulous book. We're taking a break. I'll be back with you in just a little bit. And got more good things to share. The Donna Sebo Show is heard weekdays, Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Callers are welcome to call in during the second half of the program at 253-582-5597. Please note that the announcement is made at the bottom of the hour if I'm not in studio, able to take phone calls. Warriors for Peace is heard every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., For current information regarding my email newsletter, programming, and appearances, go to DelphiInternational.com. For information on publications, including my award-winning children's books, audiobooks, and more, go to MrsSebosClassics.com. This is Donna Sebo. If you or someone you know is an author and would like to be interviewed on The Donna Sebo Show or Warriors for Peace, please send a copy of the publication along with contact information, phone number, email, and website to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 99015, Lakewood, Washington 98496. That's The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 99015, Lakewood, Washington 98496. Please allow 6 to 8 weeks for review. Thank you. Who's coming up on The Donna Sebo Show? Well, we are starting off with the 1st of February tomorrow. And by the way, that email newsletter is going to be in your email box. And you'll find that there's all kinds of interesting people that we are going to be having on the program. Also, as of this month of February, which is happening tomorrow, we are going to be airing our new television program, which is about the world of money and challenges and opportunities. So I think you'll find my two guests very, very interesting. And we will be airing the audio portion of the television show. It will be aired on The Donna Sebo Show during the month of February. And I'll let you know when that is coming up. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Marion Crook. I loved her book. It's called Always Pack a Candle. Now, Marion was a nurse, and this is her story about the experiences that she had in a particular environment at a particular time and what it was like to be a person working in an environment that was very, very limited in many, many ways, but yet heartwarming in others. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow evening. And then we're going to be talking with Bill Sherman about the Hermetic Tree of Life. And this is a fascinating topic as well. Yes, I know. I get excited about these people. Why? You'd think after 23 years, I would go, oh, boring. No way. Why? Because it's stories that people share. Knowledge that has been discovered, researched. There are so many different aspects of life that too often we get very, very busy. We watch the news. We get 30 seconds worth of whatever they decide they're going to put out that may or may not be the truth. And we go about our business of taking care of our families, living our life, making a living, you know, doing whatever it is that we have to do. And we go to bed at night, put our heads on the pillow and say, oh, I've got another day ahead of me. And so often we fail to open up to the wonderful arenas of knowledge, information, experiences, history. There's so much that can enrich our lives, but we forget because we don't want to pick up a book. And you know what? Lots of times, what we might be watching on television or seeing, we don't have an awareness of what is going on in the real world around us. And there's so many different things that we can learn. And that is why for 23 years I have been doing this programming. And I delight in it because every day has an adventure. I learn something new every single day. And it's painless. But it's also eye-opening. There is so much out there. Never feel that you cannot grow and learn as a person. Because you can. It's exciting. There's a wonderful world out there. Well, also, we're going to be talking with Neil Donald Walsh, who achieved quite a bit of success with his previous publications. He's in his 80s now. He's put out a book called God Talk, which I think you would enjoy. Become a Manifesting Machine. We've got a new year here. We are through all the major holiday stuff, and now we have a chance to take a deep breath and ask ourselves, what is most meaningful to us? What is it that we really want to see happening in our lives? Well, we're going to be talking with Jennifer Teske, and then The Divine Language of Coincidence, Hummingbird with Diana Robb. This is a memoir. And then Southern Light with Eileen St. Laurent. Ooh, you get an insight into the world of the Southern culture. Oh, it is amazing. And there's so much more. So in my newsletter that's going to be going out tomorrow, you are going to find that there are the books, that the titles are going to be there. You're also going to be made aware of my schedule, which, by the way, my schedule, I've got two events this February, actually three, and I will be giving you information about where I'm going to be appearing. The first one is going to be on the 17th and 18th of this month at Thurston County Fairgrounds. Now, this is in the state of Washington. So for those of you that are in the state of Washington, I will be there at a MeWe event, and we'll have more information coming up about that. But we're also going to be in Bellevue, Washington, later in the month, and then also I will be speaking at the Psychic Spectrum. So the entire schedule is there. You'll have access to that information. And then we've got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I've got an editorial about a raccoon. Oh, I know. It's really, I pick up some of the strangest stuff, but it's fun. This is something that I observed in my own backyard, so I wanted to share that with you. But we have got a dynamic year ahead of us, and I'm so pleased that we're going to have this opportunity to be able to share what we are going to have evolving. This year of 2024 is a dynamic one. And again, the information regarding my television show is there. Authors Showcase, we're still working on that, bringing some new people in. There's just so much going on. And I just shake my head and go, okay, what's next? Well, you never know. Not with Donna Sebo. You absolutely never know. Anyway, I wanted to share some things with you for this evening, because I am not going to be in studio available for a phone call. But I wanted to say, so many times I hear people making comments. Oh, the working marketplace, it's very hard to get a job. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's the other. I've got news for you. That is not the case. I don't care where you are with the technologies that we have today. There is so much more available, especially when it comes to work. And that is something I'm going to be sharing with you, because I really think it's important. I have four women whose information I came across, and they're all ages, as young as in their 20s, as old as in their late 60s. They all needed to have an income. And maybe in the environments that they were living in, they were not able to get a part-time job, especially when you talk about seniors. They don't necessarily want a full-time job, but they want a part-time job. Well, guess what? We're going to be able to share some information with you so that you can be inspired to maybe go to your local library if you do not have a computer, or you don't have a cell phone that is actually a computer where you can access things on Google or Microsoft Edge, whatever. By golly, these women are an inspiration as far as I'm concerned. One woman, and she's in her senior years, she said, and her name is Marilyn, and she was in the state of Pennsylvania. She found that she wanted to make some extra income. Now, she said, my life is good, but the extra money, you know, with inflation and everything else, that really helps. So she is perusing on the internet, and she said, I found this one website. It's called the RatRaceRebellion.com. And she said in that website, she found all kinds of listings for companies that want people to do research for them, search for certain information. And she said, okay, what the heck, I'll try it out. And she was giving listings of things to do. And she said, all right, I'll do this. Well, she takes care of her grandkids. She's very much involved with her family. And she didn't want something that was going to take a lot of her time. She didn't want something that was going to make it an 8 to noon or a 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening, you know, where she would have to commit to a regimented schedule. She could do what she wanted to do in her own time frame and in her own way. If she wanted to work, she could work. If she didn't want to work, she didn't have to work. But she was making an income. And so she signed up for a particular website, and she said, depending on the job she took, she could make anywhere from $10 an hour to $25 an hour. She was sitting at home, and she said, I can do this here at my own convenience. And what she did, which I thought was very interesting, she was able to continue to deal with her family and do everything that she really wanted to do. And again, remember, this is a senior, and she was making this extra money, and she would ask them just to hold the money pay out. And at Christmas time, she said, I had enough money where I could buy all my gifts and we didn't have to dip into the regular budget. And she did that. So she didn't make tens of thousands of dollars, but that wasn't an issue to her. What she wanted to do was to make enough to take care of what she felt she wanted to do in the holiday season. Now, that's one person. Another person, and this is a woman, her name was Kristen, and she's in Canada. And she said she really wanted to utilize the skills that she had. She's a writer. She does research. This is something she has a regular job. And she said she wanted to make some extra money. And she did her research. And she does research for these different people part-time at her own level. Do you know what? She said there was a job listed on a site called Upwork.com. And when she went there, she started doing work for them. And that ended up turning into a full-time job. She ends up making $30 an hour or more, and it supports her. So she is making tens of thousands of dollars a year doing something, utilizing her own skills. And this is vitally important. Now, she's a young woman. She's in her 30s, her late 30s, but she made a transition. Then there is a woman by the name of Grace. She's in New York City, and she said, I wanted to be able to do something specifically that was going to be interesting to me, that had a global effect to it, and I wanted to be able to get engaged in different environments. She makes $30 an hour. She said she heard about this website, TaskRabbit.com. She heard about the website, and she said, wow, I could do this. I could do it. And she said, I'm involved in all kinds of subjects, all kinds of different opportunities coming to me. And she said, there is something people would need to be aware of, and that is that there is a percentage that's paid back to the company that hires her, and it's a 30% of whatever she makes. And she said, I get paid as soon as I finish a job, goes right into my bank account. And she said, I've ended up having the opportunity to travel around the world, to interact with people with different cultures and environments of, you know, this, that, or the other. She's doing great. And then the last one I wanted to share with you, which I thought a friend of mine would dearly love, because she has a passion for shoes that's unparalleled, in fact, of anybody that I know. Well, she's got a companion. This is a woman. Her name is Kristen. She's actually here in the Pacific Northwest. She makes money shopping for designer shoes. Now, I'm telling you, the resourcefulness of people in finding what they want to do and have fun with, and she's a mom. She's, you know, in her early 30s. She's got a family she has to take care of. And money gets tight. Look at how inflation has affected all of us. So here she is. She's a virtual assistant, and I'm sure you've all heard of that. And she said, I get paid about $10 an hour. And she said, I just research trying to find shoes, certain shoes. And you'd say, who in the world would even be interested in that? You never know. So here you have four different examples. Now, she did this as a trial. She said, oh, let me try this out. She wanted to try something out. And she said, a little bit here, a little bit there. That added to my grocery fund quite nicely. And she said, as I get more comfortable with what I'm doing, she said, I'm making more money, but I'm doing it at my pace. Her first check was $80, 80. Now, there are those of you listening to this show, you're going to say, you get excited about $80. Let me tell you, if you are really having a challenge with meeting your bills, sometimes that $80 enables you to pay your electrical bill or to buy food to put on the table. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about because I've been through situations like that. And she said as she got more comfortable, she started doing more work. And she said, I just put in a few more hours and then my next check was $123. And she said, I do the work whenever I want. She said, sometimes with her family, she's up at 3 a.m. in her morning, and she's making money. Now, this is something with each one of these women. The point that I want to bring across to any of you listening, I don't care if you're male or female, doesn't make any difference. The reality is there is the option of opportunity, and it may take you a while to find that niche. But each of these women found something that appealed to them, that made them aware of the fact that in our age today, in our generational age today, we have access to more opportunity than our ancestors did because of the technologies that have been employed. This, I think, is extraordinarily significant. And it's important for us to realize that we do have these opportunities. I think it's fabulous. I really do. You know, my guest was talking about how to rise above our stories. So many times we adopt attitudes and feelings of previous generations without thinking about it. It's just like the old adage with women, and I'm using that specifically. Women were told that they had to be married, and men were told that, boy, they better get themselves a wife because then that, you know, enables them to do whatever they want to do. I mean, these myths, these statements were told instead of our being encouraged to be our own self so that when we do choose to bring someone else into our lives, we're going to be with someone that we can have a partnership with and not a business contract, which is exactly what a marriage contract is. And that is something that we have to pay attention to. So when you are made aware of certain beliefs or certain attitudes, you have to think about them and ask yourself, is this what I want to adopt and bring into my life? Is this what I want to accept? Or do I want to take on a whole new awareness of where I can be, what I want to do, who I am, and what is available to me? And I think one of the biggest components, and I was just having a conversation with someone not all that long ago, where we were talking about how important it is to reach out for help. Don't be afraid to ask people, if you were in a situation like mine, what would you do? And also ask them, what would you suggest that I do? And many times you'll find people that have very closed-minded attitudes. They may say, well, if you don't have a college degree, you just can't do anything. Go to school. That's not necessarily true. Getting an education, you have options of getting an education through maybe an apprenticeship with someone. I think of a young man who, when he was in high school, barely got by excepting for one class, and that was a woodworking class. He was superb in that woodworking class. Now, he was fortunate that his school had some classes for trades, and this was one of them. And when he left school, actually, he did this before he left high school, he managed to graduate just by the skin of his teeth. He managed to find out while he was in school, and this is here in the Pacific Northwest, about a particular educational group that dealt with working with wood. They trained young people, anyone actually of any age, on how to build boats, on how to do houses. It had an affiliation with the construction industry, but it was more about wood trims and working with wood itself. And this young man ended up starting in that class when he worked as an apprentice. He was so skilled, he ended up working underneath the leadership and training of some very, very talented people. And by golly, he ended up having a business of his own, becoming financially independent. And along the way, he had help. He had help. None of us achieve what we achieve by ourselves, ever. I don't care if you hear the statement, this is a self-made person. That comment may apply to their industriousness and their willingness to learn. But they always had people along the way that were willing to assist them. And more than likely, they had people that were telling them they were not smart. Gee whiz, what you're doing is dumb. Well, this young man that got into the working with wood, he was able to build a company, and he did special work in homes that enabled him to utilize his natural innate skills. He didn't try to be something that he wasn't. And in the process, he absorbed other skills. I think of someone that I met, and this really was an eye-opening event for me. There was someone that was a member of a choir that my husband was working with, that they would sing at different events, and they were just a great group of people. And this one guy, I'll call him Greg, and I find out that Greg works for this little tiny company that is right in my own neighborhood. And I said, oh, what do you do? And he said, I build organs. Well, I had to see the business. I went over, I looked at the business. I was astonished. I learned that in these organs that you see in these big churches, these are masterpieces of art that are put together by craftsmen. I don't see any women in it, but their women are associated with this industry, which is a very unique industry. They use over 200 different types of wood because of the sound that it produces. I was in awe of what I saw being done. Now, they eventually graduated to using computerization, but it took a long time because the skills that they have to develop, that they utilize in creating these masterful musical instruments. It's incredible. I had no knowledge of that. I knew about organs, but I didn't understand the process that went through. You see, that's what life is about. Life is about the process of evolution. It is the process of growing into something bigger than perhaps you could have ever imagined. You never know where you're going to be or what is going to bring you into that essence that is going to enable you to say, wow, I'm doing what I love to do. And there is going to be that income that comes along with it. It's so exciting to me when I learn of something that maybe I had a little bit of knowledge about, and I find out more about it. The dimension and depth of so many environments that surround us that we take for granted every day. It could be a tree in your front or backyard. It could be knowing what goes on behind a grocery industry. It can be finding out about organs like I did. You have all of these things. And when you have curiosity, that's liberating. That is liberating. Why? Because it shows you how much you don't know. And that should be exciting to you. It should be exciting. And that's what the world of the written word brings. Get to know your library. Get to know the people that are behind the desk. Talk to them. Find out about what goes on. Find out about the latest award-winning publications, or even just go down a row and say, close my eyes, grab a book and read it. Check it out. You'll find that life is so very, very rich. I like to think then when you listen to this program, that maybe that touches something inside of you. Don't be afraid to explore. Donna Sebo here. We're out of time, and I'm going to say goodbye. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Be well. I'll be talking to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.